Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian, you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Chris, you can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. You can find all of our podcasts at ComicRoast.com. And you can find all of our written reviews and fun stuff at ReviewAndRoast.com. And, you know, if you really like what you're doing, what you're listening to, and what you're reading from us, you can always hop over to Patreon, because we now have one of those if you'd like to support us. We have $1, $3, and $5, so some pretty cheap monthly subscriptions, or however you want to call it, Patreon levels. So head on over there. It's just patreon.com/reviewandroast. And you can find us on the Instagrams at instagram.com/reviewandroast/thecomicroast/StarWarsTabletop. If I left anything else, I did. I left out the Facebook at thefacebook.com/reviewandroast. I think that pretty much covers that. So our number one for today is heroines number one. And our over-under is female leads. Now this is going to span genres, whether it be movies, comics, books, cartoons, folk tales. Doesn't matter. It's all on the table. But in true stupid nerd fashion, I went with movies because I've seen more movies than anything else. Nailed it.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Let's see. What have been the happenings for this week? Well, last week, I don't remember if it was before or after we recorded, but last week I did manage to get my fat little fingers on Above and Below, and we've pretty much played not much else since. Everyone seems to love that game. What Chris game? Has yet to play it, but I'm pretty sure he will dig it just the same.
Game?
Above and Below. It's the only game we've been playing all week. It's all right. Pretty much.
It's all right.
Brian's just a little salty because he didn't win the last one, but he did win the one before that, maybe.
I won three in a row that game.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah.
What else did we... Oh, it was Magic that you couldn't win. That's right. We did play a little Magic on Friday where... We're trying to teach Jeff how to play, and Magic is, anyone who's familiar knows, there's a lot of stuff you need to know, and there's a lot of combinations that come in handy, and if you don't really know what you're doing, you can easily be demolished. And I destroyed the first game, Jeff won the second game, I won the third game, and then nobody wanted to play anymore, because I was being mean, apparently. But anywho.
I like how you make up stories.
I know, it was fun, though. Actually, it was actually kind of fun because the second game you totally were like talking mad shit because you thought you had everything in the bag, and then I just did my little snippet and then I shouldn't say let Jeff win, but you know, I set it up to where at the very least I'm not going to win, but neither are you, so Jeff won. Oh, fun times with Magic. Other than that, I haven't really done much of anything all week, just, you know, listening to my records and playing stupid card games like a child,
if you want to call it that. I'm trying to think. Started watching season two of F is for Family, which
I did that too.
For a Bill Burr led show, I feel like it still should be a little bit funnier, but it's pretty well written for not being as screamingly hilarious as you'd expect, but there are still some screamingly hilarious moments. And the first episode of season two is actually better than the first episode of season one, which is better the first, maybe the second or third times you watch it. That's about it. I mean, this week was really just kind of a blur of trying to get sleep, not getting sleep, wanting to go next door and just pummel the neighbors for not allowing me to sleep. I'm, like, fucking tired as shit. So that was basically my entire week of not accomplishing anything of note.
Ooh, I did. I finished 13 Reasons Why and reviewed that. So if you haven't seen it yet, you can check out that review at reviewandroast.com.
I haven't been able to sit down and watch a movie until last night.
It's a TV show.
Or, yeah, I'm trying to say a word. I haven't been able to really watch shit or play much in the last few weeks, and I don't anticipate that changing for at least another week or two, so too much going on. I did get to play Skate 3 yesterday with my nephews, so it was hilarious watching them both try to like 360 flip into a wall and not go anywhere. And then, of course, my nephew figured out how to do an air over a channel and land on the roof. So he started talking shit to me like I've never played the game before. So it's pretty fun. Like seeing them into gaming.
It's neat. I like it. Anyone else do anything this week?
Pulled weeds.
Yeah, I gotta do stuff like that too. I just haven't done it yet because every day I sit at work and I go, well, today I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna do all that shit, and then it starts raining and it's like, you know what? Ugh, the rain's getting out of control. It just seems to rain at the most inconvenient times. Just super annoying. Yeah, I guess that's, man, we really haven't done nothing this week, huh? That's pretty lame. Then I guess, should we move into the number one already?
I'm into it.
All right. Well, the number one was Heroine's number one. This was Christopher's pick. I'll give you guys a little touch here. Marcy Madison, valedictorian at Columbia University. She has a few black belts. And she has a nifty superpower. Marcy's got it going on, and she's ready to do her part to make the world a better place. But will the new Sentrymen accept her into their team of superheroes? Dun, dun, dun. Space Ghost Productions, written by Ted Nafa, and art. And wow, he did everything. That's pretty impressive. I like it. I probably mispronounced his name, so I apologize. But you want to bring us on in to the story there, bud?
One of the things that at first that I noticed as I was reading it that I didn't really care for, I guess you would say, is at first the dialogue was kind of getting a little cheese ball with the little one-liners. But underneath it all, the story is actually pretty cool. There's a lot of references to not references per se. He uses the the plight of women or the chauvinistic ways of men. Marcy tried to join, to give a little synopsis, in one part of the book she tries to join the Sentrymen, and he basically says, well, women have a lot of baggage, and you know, you guys get your period and you guys are always freaking out and blah 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 blah. So she sells him to go suck his balls, and I'm going to go start my own team, which she goes and does. It might come off as a typical superhero group story, but there were little things I liked about it, especially the fact of, like, in one of the parts where her and Raven go to stop this crime, I guess, or whatever, but one of the girls is a prostitute, so and I guess the guy was gonna I don't know if he was gonna dump her or what, but she basically tells him, hey, look, you're gonna give her this kind of cut, and next time she does something wrong, why don't you just fire her like a normal boss would at a normal job? And at the end of it, Marcy's like, well, what the heck was all that for? And Raven tells her, well, she's going to get some more money now. So there's that, I guess, I don't know how to put it, but the social aspect of it, and the fact that, you know, maybe like in, well, within this book, there's no jobs around, or especially in this neighborhood. So she's like, I just got her a better deal. She'll be bringing in more money than working at McDonald's. So I'm like, she's like, well, you know, what's the problem? She's got to do what she's got to do. So I helped her out. And I kind of dig that aspect because, I mean, we all have to do something we don't want to do. You know, when I lost my job, I had to go work at Target. So, I mean, it's not a hooker, but I didn't want to work there.
Yeah, I guess the only I agree with the, you know, the direction and the feel of the book is really kind of neat in that way. The one thing that kind of, I don't want to say bothered me, it didn't bother me because I'm sure it gets fleshed out eventually, is like, you know, I mean, it opens up with her, you know, giving her speech as the valedictorian, and it gets interrupted by this supervillain out of nowhere, but, and then she saves the superhero's ass, as she put it, But you have no idea where she gets her powers. Like, what they exactly are or what it was still are unbeknownst to me. But, I mean, like I said, I'm sure they're going to flesh it out. And I thought it was kind of neat that it seemed like he was the leader of the new sentries or whatever, sentrymen. But he had he had those, like, prosthetic legs that...
Right.
That one, like, the blades or whatever, which I thought was kind of interesting because... You know, they're trying to portray a lot of these quote unquote superheroes just in a different light than you're used to, which is what really is probably the most interesting part to me. Because then you had that other guy, what was his the Raven or the Black
Stormcrow?
Stormcrow, that guy rules.
Yeah,
I don't really know exactly what his deal is, but he was kind of an asshole, and that was kind of awesome.
He's a lunatic.
Yeah,
it's kind of a Batman Night Owl hybrid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that goes back to what Chris was saying. Like, when she thought she was being taken around, shown around the Sentryman headquarters as a possible prospect, this guy's taking her around thinking he's on a date, and Stormcrow is like...
Get a blowjob later.
Right, and she's telling, or he's telling her about, you know, well, when so-and-so was dating Stormcrow and they broke up, she just got crazy. We had to get rid of her. And she's like, yeah, because you couldn't just get rid of him. And he's like, well, his crazy, you kind of need his crazy. So, you know, it's just they lay on the sexism.
The pros before hoes.
Yeah. I mean, but it's not done, like, overly thick, but it's there. And I don't know, I kind of like it. I kind of like the, you kind of see the side that I guess most people don't see all the time, I guess. It's one way to put it. I really kind of liked it.
Well... For some weird reason, it reminded me of the board game, card game, Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Yeah.
Whereas the hero characters are kind of, for lack of better terms, second-rate knockoffs of pre-existing characters. Like I said, that Scarecrow guy is kind of a Batman Night Owl hybrid. He's got
some Thundergirl is kind of a Wonder Woman, a more masculine Wonder Woman.
Yeah, they're all kind of... They're not super original, let's put it that way, which is fine. I mean, how many original superheroes can you really come up with at this point? There's 50 billion of them in every comic book universe, and, you know, I'm awesome guy. Yeah, whatever.
I don't think that's the writer's point in the book. I think that probably is like plays second fiddle to what he's really trying to lay out in his story.
And as far as the, I mean, there's obviously I kind of felt in a way like some of the messaging in the book was more of a like, hey, see what I'm doing, as opposed to, I don't know. I mean, that might be the wrong way to look at it. I don't know. Because the one thing I liked, it definitely, the book's very topical, which is pretty cool. But some of it felt like shoehorned in and some of it didn't. Like you said, the part where she's like, you know, oh, you had to let her go. You couldn't let him go. And oh, his kind of crazy is necessary. Like, that was a neat little point. But some of the other things I kind of felt like, you know, felt like they were trying to stuff a bunch of issues into one issue, whereas, like, they could have maybe spaced it out a little bit better. The one thing that I did like is that during her speech where she was saying maybe we need to redefine what wealth is. Yeah. And, you know, extreme wealth, you know, is meaningless when everything is on fire, or whatever she said. And I was kind of like, yeah, why the fuck don't people get that? Like, how many times does that need to be said in the real world for people to go, holy crap, you know what? You're right. My billions are worthless if everything is on fire. Like, I made a joke a long time ago when somebody, it was in a Facebook thread, of course, because that's where it always happens. Some dumbass was sitting there doing the whole, like, oh, this guy earned the billions of dollars he's got. And then something about, you know, hiding all the money in a place where no one can get to it. And I said, I made a joke about, and of course I made it about Mitt Romney, saying something like, yeah, he could take his billions of dollars and fly a rocket ship to the center of the earth where his money has zero value. Basically, I was trying to say, like, yeah, it's great that you have, you know, countless bank accounts and billions upon billions of dollars, but what value does your money have if everyone else has nothing? And it applies to anything. What good is it if you have 700 board games if you live on a fucking floating house in the middle of the ocean and have no access to other people? So That I liked. I liked that just little bit where she was trying to explain, like, you know, we need to redefine what value is. And I was like, yeah, exactly. That sort of stuff is something you can expand on. But, like, actually, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to knock the book. The book was pretty cool. And I agree that if you're going to do a superhero story, you need to remold these types of stories. You can't just do the basically, here's the good guy, here's the bad guy. They're going to build up to a big fight. They're going to punch each other, and then somebody wins and somebody loses, and then reset for next week. Because that formula is not going to last.
Agreed.
And the reason why I say that now is because now that the movies are super popular, that formula is starting to take shape in the movies a little too often, and it's going to be only so long before movie audiences want something different. So, because the comic books are part of the mainstream language now, so they need to start taking chances. And but this book, it's trying to do something different, so that's pretty cool. I'm into that.
Yeah, the artwork's okay. The story, I like, it got better as it went on. I like the topics that he's trying to tackle.
See, I thought it started out really strong.
See, for me, the beginning was a little weird for me because, like I said, she's in the middle of a speech and all of a sudden gets broken up by this, like, supervillain and superhero fighting, and they don't explain what's going on there. They don't explain her powers at all. But then you start to realize that whole fight scene has nothing to do with the main story, the main focus of this book, which is her going off and starting her own team. So,
which is,
so in the beginning, like I said, it was a little confusing. Not confusing, but you know what I mean? It was a little like, dude, what is going on? Who are these people? What is that? Who is this? And then it's like, oh, okay, that's not the point of the book. You know what I mean? Once you pick up on what the point is, it...
Right, and to me, in the last couple of years, the best superhero stories have been the ones that kind of flip the script on the typical bad versus good.
Well, yeah, of course. It's like something different.
Yeah, there's a novel I bought a few years ago and read, and I actually loved it. It was called After the Golden Age. It was about a girl who was... She worked as an insurance adjuster or something like that, and her parents were both, like, Golden Age-style superheroes, and she had no powers at all. So she was constantly getting, you know, kidnapped and stolen by supervillains to the point where she was just like, oh, God, this again? And the book was really awesome because it was all from her perspective. It was essentially the, like, growing up with famous parents and how annoyed she was because she couldn't just live a normal life. It was hard for her to date because people were like, oh, my God, you're super dude's daughter. And she's like, oh, this again? So that point of view made her story super interesting, even though, again, the characters were kind of, hero and villain characters were kind of generic knockoffs. So that's, I feel, where this genre needs to go if it's going to succeed. Because I noticed that the Marvel and DCs are trying to really push the whole girl power thing, which is cool. But if you're just going to do the typical bad versus good framework, it's not going to last. You gotta step up the storytelling. And I feel like this book attempts to do that.
Yeah.
Whether it succeeds or not depends on where it goes
to be seen. Dun, dun,
through
dun.
The yeah through the issues and so on.
We ready to?
Well, it's only three issues, so I think in that respect it.
But again, when you're world building, if this
can do a lot in three issues.
Yeah, and when you're world building in this genre, there's always room for sequels and spinoffs and side stories. So we may see more of Marcy and her robot friends. Because honestly, you can't. I don't think. Start, build, and, you know, thrive with a all-female-led superhero team in three issues.
Yeah.
Unless you rush everything.
Well, it depends on who she gathers up.
I feel like if you're going to character build and world build and flesh things out, you need more than three issues. And maybe that's what I said. Maybe there'll be, like, a sequel or a second arc or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I did...
It's entirely possible.
I did feel like the topics, of which there are more than a few, kind of felt stuffed into this book all at once, which I felt like could have been served better had they been spread out, but whatever.
Are we ready to throw some numbers at it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm gonna go with a 8.25.
Ooh. I like it. Well, then I'm going to go a little weird, and I'm going to go 7.75.
No. Mine's not going to be that weird. I'm going to give this a 7. I feel like if things spread out and kind of if the story takes its time as it goes on, it'll improve. Right now, I feel like there's some good ideas here. I like the fact that the one guy is kind of the one-man shop for this book, which makes me, you know, want to score it higher. I just feel that he's trying to say a lot in a short amount of time, and he needs to, you know, pump the brakes a bit and space things out.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a successful story, character, cast of characters, and a world to go anywhere with. And that's going to be the make or break for this book as it goes on.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. That was Heroines number one. Like Chris said, it's
not Heroine number one.
Right. That's a totally different experience.
It's a different scary book of heroin.
But yeah, like Chris said, it's so far it's only been three issue series or whatever, so it's not gonna be that hard to, you know, get in and check out the whole thing. Other than that, moving on to the over and under for the week, which is female lead characters. I feel like I might catch some shit on this one. But hey, I mean, that's what we're here for, right? Yay, to stir topics. So my overrated female leads is probably going to be the unpopular choice of Ripley from Aliens.
Ooh.
Now, before everyone goes jumping down my throat on the tweetins, here's the deal. I feel like especially when it comes to the sci-fi genre, everyone jumps to Ripley from Aliens. I have seen Aliens, mind you, it has been a long, long time, but I just don't feel... I feel like she's the go-to for everybody. She's the low-hanging fruit. There. Oh, what about Ripley? Like, dude, what about Sarah Connor? What about...
Well, she's not a lead, technically.
I mean, she's not...
She's a supporting actress.
I guess that was a bad example. But you know what I mean? I just feel like
when
it comes to the badass woman... Everyone always goes to Ripley.
Technically, you could use Sarah Connor because Fox had that season or two seasons of the Sarah Connor Chronicles where she was the lead. So, yeah. I mean, she would count. But if you weren't strictly Terminator 2, she's technically a supporting cast.
Yeah, but she was badass supporting cast.
Well, I didn't give the show enough of a watch to know how awesome or not awesome she was. I just remember the thing that bugged me about the show, because I was liking the things they were trying to do, but there was one episode where this professor was at home and he had something to do with Skynet, and this Terminator showed up at the door and basically just forced his way in and slaughtered this dude. And when they cut back from the commercial and they found this guy basically just a pile of body parts in a bathtub full of blood, and the cop looks in and goes, "Oh, poppycock." I'm like, no, if I saw body parts floating in a fucking bathtub full of blood, I'd be going, "Oh my fucking God, what the fuck?" So I was like, this is why Fox shouldn't do anything, because they fucking ruined what could have been an awesome show. And maybe actually it is an awesome show. I don't know. I only saw two episodes, but I remember the minute it took me right out of the moment, because I'm like, this bathroom is covered in guts. And no, jeebus is not a fucking appropriate response. Holy fuck, somebody hold me, I'm going to vomit everywhere. This is the more appropriate response.
Yeah, I agree.
So that ruined that show.
That's always been my big hang-up with network TV is the language. It never fits.
If you watch the show American Crime on ABC, well, it's been canceled now, but they peppered in a fucker or a son of a bitch once in a while.
Yeah.
Because they did the after hours thing so they can get away with it.
Right.
I just think network TV needs to just realize that, all right, 7-year-olds aren't watching the Sarah Connor Chronicles. It just ain't happening. If they walk through the room, it's as random as if they walk through the room while you're watching Scarface.
Right.
So enough with that. But what about Ripley now? Back to Ripley.
Oh, I just feel like she's the go to. I feel like that's just everyone's example of a strong female character. Like, you just hear, and especially when they, every couple of years, when they put out a new Aliens movie, it's just like, oh, here we go. You know, it's, I don't know.
It's hard for me because I super love Sigourney Weaver.
I've never been... I'm not saying... There's nothing wrong with her. I'm not saying she's a bad actress.
Oh,
I'm
no.
not saying she's not a badass in the movie. But, like, I feel like growing up, you either were an Aliens guy or you were the fucking Predator guy. I was the Predator guy. So I didn't watch Aliens a billion times. And I'm not saying she's not a badass. I'm just saying maybe not the baddest ass.
I know. I'm just saying, for me, personally, I'm a Sigourney Weaver fan. So I can't bag on the character. And I don't know enough about the Aliens franchise. I've seen the first one. I've seen Prometheus. I've seen the crappy Aliens versus Predator movies, which are just awful. I have yet to see the new one, which I want to see, but I'll probably just wait for the DVD.
Yeah.
My pick for overrated, and I have to qualify this by saying I have not seen the movies, and I have not read all the novels, but I've sampled the novels, and I've seen a million clips because they're everywhere. My pick is Katniss from The Hunger Games. And really the only reason I'm picking this is because I know enough about The Hunger Games to know that it is essentially in a more elaborate mainstream version / ripoff of the movie and manga Battle Royale, which for all of its low budgetness is a super fantastic movie. And it, to me, I mean, not to get super whatever on it, but it is like an American example of appropriating something that already exists and making it more palatable for mainstream audiences. Whereas the whole, I mean, you're talking about a movie where you're having teenagers run around murder each other on an island.
Yeah.
And it's been brought up a billion times by other people other than myself who have said things more eloquently and more in detail, but I'm sorry, the fucking Hunger Games are a ripoff of Battle Royale. There's a difference between being influenced and straight up ganking some shit. And in this case, whoever that woman is who wrote the Hunger Games, she straight up ganked that shit. And I do not think you'll ever convince me otherwise. And maybe the Hunger Games is an okay movie despite this. And I do like Jennifer Lawrence, but no, still a ripoff. Even with Philip Seymour Hoffman, which could pretty much save Paul Blart from being a mall cop. So there you go.
I like it.
I'm going to go with Elektra.
Are we talking about the movie Elektra or the character altogether? Because the Daredevil version from the fucking Netflix show is super fantastic.
No, I'm talking about the movie.
Oh, I haven't seen the movie. I have seen the first Daredevil.
Jennifer Garner.
I do like Jennifer Garner. I'm a Jennifer Garner fan, but I have not seen the movie, so I can't say, but I've heard it's terrible.
Yeah.
I'll buy that, because, I mean, I don't know. I never...
I liked her in a Daredevil movie, too, but, I mean, like, and then they gave her a movie. And I'm more picking that because it's like, you would have figured there'd be a Wonder Woman movie before Elektra.
Yeah, there probably should have been. And just to clarify, in case you didn't listen to our other episode where we talked about Wonder Woman, that movie officially kicks the ass of all asses.
Yeah.
It exceeded my already kind of super high expectations. It made me want to be a woman and run around with a sword. So, there you go. There's your girl power for 2017. Wonder Woman all the way.
You already have the boobs, right?
Well, there you go. Sadness ensues.
Oh, man.
I mean, I do talk about them a lot, so I guess I can't get mad.
As far as under...
I was going to say, like, yeah, you mention it all the time.
I hashtag them. I talk about them on Twitter. So
when it comes to underrated, you know, I mean, I had a pick, and I feel like I don't want to use it now. I feel like I want to change it. So I think I'm going to change it to another unpopular pick that people are probably going to be like, what? Because I'm probably one of the few people on the planet that like that stupid fucking movie. But I'm going to go Baby Doll from Sucker Punch.
I don't hate that movie. I mean, it's a bad movie, but it's a really fun bad movie.
That's the thing. The story is about as thin as you're going to get. But the action in that movie and the visuals of that movie are fucking amazing.
It's the best 2-hour video game trailer ever made.
Yeah. Like, and here's the deal. Like, she's a badass one way or another. But... And I know, like, you get a handful of people bring her up on rare occasions, but I feel like a lot of people just, like, dog that movie because of the director, because so many people just don't fucking like him. And I don't understand why. It's super annoying.
there's something to that, but there was one girl who wrote a really awesome piece. I think it was on IO9 when that movie came out, saying that Sucker Punch would go down as one of the most underrated movies ever 20 years from now. And she basically explained her hypothesis, and I remember reading it going, I could see this happening. In 20 years, people are going to love this movie, or they'll forget about it. Right now, it's kind of looking like people are going to forget about
it. I'll never forget. I don't know. I'm starting to see some more and more baby doll cosplay. So maybe it's just the character's popular, or maybe people are starting to come around on the movie. I don't know.
Could be. It's a weird fucking movie.
It is awesomely weird.
Yeah, but Carla Gugliano's in it, so.
Yeah, she is. She plays the headmistress or whatever.
And she's rare.
I was actually, funny you mentioned her, because that was my original pick, was going to be Silk Spectre, but I was like,
ooh. She's not the lead, though. But
none of them really are. The whole team is the lead, and she's part of the team.
I probably
should have, you know what I mean?
Clarified what I meant, but whatever.
Well, you know what I mean. I'm just saying. I was originally going to pick Silk Spectre, but there's really no lead in The Watchmen. But it's another movie that a lot of people dog all the time, which I don't understand. I'll admit, when I first saw it in the theater, I was super disappointed. But I was expecting, like, Avengers-level, like, awesomeness. I didn't realize that the story's not so much about them fighting crime as it is the internal turmoil and the political society, you know, the way things were going at the time and blah, 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 blah. And it was much more about everything else than it was the actual team fighting crime.
Yeah, it's the
Deacon. There's no reason to dog Carla Gugliano anyways.
She's awesome. She was awesome in that movie. She was awesome in every movie I've. But anywho, I'm just rambling at this point, so go ahead.
And she's a sexy mama, too.
Dude, that's an understatement of the year.
But Watchmen is, like, you know, the deconstruction of the superhero genre. It's not a superhero movie.
Right, exactly.
But the thing that's weird about that, just to kind of go back to that for a minute, people dog that movie because they're like, it's too close to the graphic novel. It doesn't try to do anything. Yes, but even if you've seen the extended cut, a lot gets left on the cutting room. Because I reread Watchmen for the third time about a year ago, and I'm like, man, there's a lot of stuff not in the movie.
It doesn't matter, because when something strays too far from the book, it's nothing like the book. When it's too close to the book, it's too close, they didn't take any chances. Like, well, people are just never happy.
If you see the movie Gone Girl, which a lot of people seem to like, that movie is basically the book word for word. And granted, I'm sure there's stuff that was taken out because there's only 2.5 hours to tell a story, and that book is 420 pages.
Well, if you look at something like The Da Vinci Code, that's a good 300-something pages, I think. But the entire book takes place in the span of like 3 hours. So to make it into a 2.5-hour movie or whatever, you're pretty much going to get it all in, and they pretty much did. Oh. You know, it all depends on how well you want to stick to the book and how possible that is, I guess. You know what I mean?
I'll stick to the book. Anyway, my pick for underrated is Leslie Knope from Parks and Recreation. Ooh. Because
I didn't even think about going like non-superhero or fantasy or whatever.
Well, I remember when they announced that Leslie or Amy Poehler was going to be the lead on the Office spinoff. And I took that to mean Office spinoff, like, oh, it's going to be a company across the parking lot. And I was like, I don't want another show set in the Scranton, Pennsylvania universe. This was actually before everything became a fucking universe, which is another topic for another show. But I was like, I don't want a spinoff of The Office. The Office is perfect the way it is. I don't want to follow Roy around for 9 seasons.
Yeah.
But it's not a spinoff. It's a show that, I guess, if it takes place in the same universe, it's that it takes place in modern-day America, which makes it as much of a universe as the All in the Family / That's My Mama universe. But I was, like, not a big Amy Poehler fan at the time either, so I was not super pumped for that show. And admittedly, the first season's a little rocky. It's got its moments. But season 2, that show just crushed. And it never stopped. And she was like, they tried to make her the female Michael Scott those first 6 episodes, which was a mistake.
Yeah.
But then when they essentially rewrote her to be the super confident person with like the awkward personality that she was, Like, I fell in love with her and her character. So, yeah, that is my favorite sitcom outside of maybe Seinfeld for that reason. And she's a huge reason why. I mean, there's obviously Ron Swanson and April Ludgate and, you know, all the other wacky weirdos on that show. But she was the glue of, what the fuck's that town? Pawnee, Indiana.
Yeah.
I almost call it Scranton, Indiana, like a dumbass. Mm. But, yeah, Leslie Knope, 2017. And forever. And I love you, Leslie Poehler. Or Amy Knope.
Okay. I am picking Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh. That's one that Brian won't be able to get down with because he hasn't played it yet. But, yeah, that's actually, you know, it's kind of neat. It didn't take very long before you started seeing people dressing as her at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, she's kind of a badass.
Yeah. And she's got, like, you know, she's a kick-ass archer. And she fights
everything?
Robot dinosaurs.
Yeah, robot dinosaurs, tribes, everything.
And, yeah, you know, robot mountain lions. And so, yeah, it's an awesome game. And, yeah, it's a good – it's a another strong female lead character video game-wise that, yeah, that I'm sure that you will be seeing in at Comic-Cons.
Oh, by next year, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, right now. Or if you haven't already.
In case you were wondering, girl gamers are taking over. So get ready for that.
I am ready. We need more so that 60. I can date one. Nailed it.
Once
everyone realizes that video games and board games and podcasts are awesome, I become super popular. And then first we get the khakis, then we get the chicks. A little basketball for you people out there? Come on.
This show's got everything. Skidmark Steve, what have you been doing? Hanging out, playing Nintendo? I have a job now. What have you guys been doing? I don't know. Hanging out, playing Nintendo? Dick.
I need to watch that now. That movie's so good. Oh, okay, so there you have it, over under for the week. If you guys got any other suggestions, feel free to tweet us or tell us that we're awesome or tell us that we don't know what we're talking about. Either way, let us know. Now, moving on to the best thing ever for the week. This is actually a tough one. I mean, I haven't really done much this week, but I really guess I'll have to... I'm just going to go blanket... gaming in general, because I just had a lot of fun with the Magic and the Above and Below, and I feel like we peppered in some other stuff maybe, but no, we didn't really, but we're going to today, so yeah, I don't know, just gaming was really fun this week, which maybe that's because Mike wasn't here, so.
Snap!
Burn.
He don't listen.
Burn us.
Right?
The one time he listens, he's just going to text you a picture of him with one tear coming out of his face.
I'll get a Snapchat from Crystal of him curled up in the ball in the corner crying.
Nailed it.
Whatever. I had a lot of fun gaming this week. That's what I'll use.
All right. My pick is 6 more days, and I no longer have to have the neighbors that I have because we are leaving that neighborhood and that house.
They don't know where they're going yet, but hey, who cares?
Yeah, that's kind of all up in the air. But anyway, just for a quick example, I forget if it was Tuesday night or Wednesday night, I was sound asleep. And I don't seem to get as much sound sleep these days because I fucking cannot figure out why. But this particular night, I was dead to the world and I was dreaming about buying records or some weird thing and it was awesome. And I was hanging out with an awesome girl and then all of a sudden I hear fucking... an explosion and 4 more of them right afterwards. And I'm like, oh my, I wake up immediately fucking going, what the fuck's going on out there? Somebody shooting or somebody shooting off M80s like right behind my house. And I look outside, it's dead. There's nobody out there. I look to the neighbors next door and their garage lights on. So I'm like, okay, it's the fucking assholes who live there who are up to something. I have no idea what, but yeah, I can't wait to leave and never see them again. So fuck them, and I hope their house burns down.
Nailed it. Which it almost did last year, didn't it?
I'm fucking sure.
Or was it flooded last year?
I'm sure it's fucking...
I don't remember.
Covered with toxic foam and fucking... There's probably raccoons living in their fucking closets. Who cares? Can't wait. 6 more days, never have to see them again.
Yeah. Best thing ever for me. Mm. Oh, got rid of the gnats.
Nice.
Gnats are gone. For good.
They're coming back.
Wow, no, nailed it.
Nailed it.
They're not coming back. They're gone.
I already called them. They're coming back tomorrow.
There's no whatchamacallit here for them to, Nope, sorry. Can't come back. Don't want them back.
I don't blame you. They're super annoying, and that's good to hear.
They're gone.
Well, all right, then. That's going to wrap us up for the week. As always, you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury, and you can find Christopher at SkateXEdge. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. You can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/reviewandroast. And if you can't find it, you can go to reviewandroast.com, and there is a button on there to become a patron. So if you like what we're doing and you want to support us a little bit, we would love to have you as a patron. So
that is how we get to...
That's how we get the khakis. That's how we get the chicks.
That's how we get Quadropolis.
I don't know what that is, but yeah, that's how we get that too. So
Quadrophenia?
Yeah, that too. Wasn't that an album?
Yeah, by The Who.
Look at me knowing stuff. Speaking of The Who, well, who to who, see you next week. Who?